Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
And good evening, Red Sox fans. Hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing? Hope everyone's had a good start to their week. Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Red Sox podcast. Ellis, man, how you doing? Hope you're
ready
for the
offseason. How's it going?
Man, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. You know, we were just talking before the stream. And you just hit the ground running in the offseason. We already got so much to talk about tonight. Feels like the season just ended a couple of days ago. And we already got a lot to talk about, my friend. And how's everything? You doing well? Everything
I'm doing good great, on your man. End? How you doing, considering the storm and everything last week?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because it was the other one we had, Ian, that was definitely more of a hurricane. We had a tropical storm the other day.
Right.
You know. Hey, you know, lots of wind, lots of rain. And it happened overnight. And I thought it was going to be more like in the morning, afternoon time. So I woke up and I'm walking around all day. I'm doing things. I'm like, where the heck is the storm at? And there was
just
no
hit
storm.
Late, huh?
Yeah. So it hit overnight. So I didn't even know that it happened. But I had a couple of friends, you know, some things got knocked down and everything. And typical Florida storm for you. Typical Florida storm.
Well,
probably the worst one. Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you. And probably the worst one that I ever had was back in 2004. We had Hurricane Francis. That was probably, I think it was like a Category 2 or 3. I didn't have power for over a week. Man,
wow.
It was a boring week that week. But no, nothing like that this time around.
Right.
So, but either way, we got some stuff to talk about tonight. And I'm glad everyone is here to join us. And so we're going to be talking a little Brian Reynolds tonight. We're going to be talking some Bogarts, some Rafael Devers, some Nathan Eovaldi. We got a full stack for this episode. But before we do get started, we got to go over tonight's sponsors. And our main sponsor is Bet Online. Baseball is back, or at least the offseason is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchups, info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to BetOnline to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And also, we are partners here with SeatGeek. Baseball season's over, but you can still use this for basketball, football, whatever it may be. Use my code HIDE. You get $20 off. And also, check out Prize Picks. Use my code Ginger and you'll get a 100% deposit match. So let's get to it, Ellis. We got a lot to talk about here. And I think the first thing we got to talk about, what's going on here with Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. So I say we jump in here with a little Rafael Devers. We got some news recently from John Heyman of the New York Post. So let's share my screen here. Unfortunately, not great news with Rafael Devers. I mean, I guess not, you know, bad news. There's nothing really going on, but let's go take a look here with John Heyman. He says here, the Red Sox have reopened contract talks with the star third baseman, Rafael Devers, but the gap is said to remain large. Word is the Red Sox have now raised their offer to over $200 million, probably necessary given the Braves signed less experienced star third baseman Austin Riley for $212 million. However, with Devers only a year away from free agency, he seeks at least 10 years for $300 million plus. Ellis, I got to hear your thoughts right off the bat. What are you thinking here? Do you think maybe this gap could close up here?
Well, considering you know, Austin Riley, of course, was the top dog at that time. You know, $212 million. How many years did he sign for? Was it seven?
That was a 10-year deal, I believe, with Austin Riley.
He got a 10-year deal as well. So Rafi is definitely going to seek that. And considering they're almost $100 million apart, I mean, you got to – I don't know exactly what the offer was that the Red Sox threw out there.
Yeah.
But you got to figure there's a few million apart there. So yeah, it's going to take some time. That's nothing you're going to expect to get done mm-hmm. overnight. It's going to be a while, and it might come closer to the season. It may even come during the season. You never know. I mean, but I wouldn't be too worried about it right now. That's right now it's just preliminary stuff going on, so it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, obviously, from Devers' camp, you know, obviously you're going to go – you're looking for a big offer. I think from the Red Sox, the way they're looking at it, I think they're looking at it more down the road, where maybe they don't want to, you know, they don't want to break the bank too much. And also, that's another thing with the Red Sox. They've never really offered these, like, you know, 10-year, $300 million deals. They could have done it with Betts. They didn't do it. Well, they did offer that, but they didn't go as far as the Dodgers ended up going. But with Devers, I think they're looking at it as, I wonder what they think of him long-term as a third baseman. I've read reports that they're looking at him at more of like a Matt Olson kind of a deal, someone with like a first baseman, like designated hitter profile. With Devers, I definitely think he is definitely worth a good amount of money. Yeah. I'm not sure about 300. I could definitely see them maybe coming to a spot in the middle. I agree with what you said right there, where I think this could go into the season. But then again, I also wonder too, because players, you know, I want to get your thoughts on this as well, where players, they don't really want to talk contracts during the season. Do you think, you know, as a player, a former player yourself, was that as big of a distraction as, it, you know, players make it, you know, kind of out to be? Or have you seen players before, or have you yourself, did you ever negotiate anything during the season?
Well, I've seen players cut things off negotiation-wise during the course of the season after spring training so that they're not distracted. But as far as, you know, a person like, okay, let's see Aaron Judge. He shut it down last year, okay? And he bet on himself, and he had a hell of a year, and it's going to pay off for him. Now, who's to say Rafi won't do that, but who's to say he will? I mean, I wouldn't. I would rather have that in my back pocket. Don't worry about a thing after that. Get it done now and play baseball. You don't want to have to be worrying about that during the course of the season, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't sign it, that's going to be a thought process throughout the course of the season. You're not going to tell me Aaron Judge did not think about that at all during the course of the season. He was motivated.
Yeah.
You know, that motivated him. But some players are totally different. Some players, it worries. So who knows if it's going to be a worrisome type thing with Rafi, or is it something, hey, let's just get this taken care of. That way I can be, you know, relaxed and comfortable.
Yeah, I definitely think the Red Sox, in my opinion, the way they're probably looking at it, at the end of the day, Rafael Devers makes your team better. So I would think if there is not a deal, it's going to be interesting with if you don't have a deal, you know, going into the season. Let's say the Red Sox are maybe like kind of like hanging around in the wild card race. What do you do at that point? Do you trade, you know, Devers at that point? Or let's say you're in you know, in contention, let's say you're in the running for the division or, you know, and then Devers, you know, is kind of obviously with no contract. I mean, obviously you got to hang on to him at that point, but you would think the Red Sox would like to get something done by that point. And, but then again, you know, I can understand where with the Red Sox, they, could they, you know, consider trading him at the deadline? You know, that's something.
You know what? I want to go back to your earlier point when you said, you know, that he, in your eyes, he may not be a $300 million guy. I mean, there's been players with the same ability and better ability, of course, that's gotten that contract. And I tell you what, Rafi is one of the guys that the Red Sox see in their plans in the future. Mm-hmm. He's young enough. I mean, his numbers, if the guy stays healthy, he's going to put up some phenomenal numbers during the course of a season. That's the main thing with Rafi. Last year was one of those seasons he's got hurt a couple of times. Okay. that's not going to be able to happen when you put that kind of money into a player. So now, as far as the Matt Olson comparison, I think he's a I'm not saying the comparison to Matt Olson. He's a lot better than him, I think, especially at that age. Mm-hmm. But the number of years will be a concern. I would not go 10 years, like you said, but for that kind of money, he's definitely going to have to get at least 7 to 8 million. I mean, 8 years, you know, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think 7-8 years, probably looking around maybe 25, 28 million per year in that range. I could see, I've seen like a 7 year, 175 looks, that's 25 per year. Or could you even go a little further than that?
You might can go a little higher.
Yeah. 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 Seven, you know, maybe 7 to 8, maybe 200 to 220 over that. I could definitely see something like that. I think the Red Sox, the way they operate, you know, John Henry, you know, Tom Warner and all them, they tend to not want to go very long with the deals. So I could see them being like, okay, yeah, we could do 6-7. Because when you're, you know, historically, you know, those, they don't want to be tied to these contracts, you know, age 35 plus seasons. I think the Red Sox, they like to maximize value of the contracts. So usually they don't like to go past those 32, 33, you know, 34 seasons. So that's the sweet spot with Devers. So I think in the end, there's a good chance they meet in the middle, I would say. You know, especially now that even though, yeah, they are far apart, the fact that the Red Sox are above that $200 million threshold, now it just comes down to, will Devers be willing to come down? Do they think he could get that on the open market?
Yeah.
That's going to be, I think,
there's always going to be a team that's going to offer more. Always.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to come down to, okay, does Rafi really want to stay in Boston? Mm-hmm. Does the Red Sox really want to extend more than 7 to 10 years, 7 to 8 years, go to 10? I mean, he's young. He's very talented. I mean, I really, really like the guy, but it's just a matter of they're comfortable. If they're comfortable with it, there it is.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully we can see some of these gaps kind of close a little bit, but we do have some other news. We have a little Xander Bogaerts to talk about. And unfortunately for us, we got some other teams. I mean, no surprise here. Other teams are starting to dive in. But an old friend, Dave Dombrowski, is looking like he is starting to show some real interest in Xander Bogaerts. And the Philadelphia Phillies could be emerging as a contender for Xander Bogaerts, according to John Heyman. John Heyman's going to be all over the place in the offseason, but Philadelphia is believed to have real interest in making Bogaerts the latest big ticket addition to the roster. So as we just saw with the Phillies, they were 2 wins away from a World Series. They were in the driver's seat at one point in that World Series. And hey, in the end, they couldn't get it done. The Astros were just that much better. But honestly, I could really see it. I really could. I mean, that Dave Dombrowski connection is a real thing. Obviously winning that World Series in 2018. You know, what are your thoughts? I mean, I think it seems like a match made in heaven, honestly, if you weren't going to come back to Boston, but I got to hear your thoughts on it.
You know, when you talk about Xander Bogaerts and around the league, you're always talking about, you know, familiarity. He's been, you know, one of these guys that's been consistent his whole career throughout Boston, okay? Now, all of a sudden, Dave Dombrowski goes to Philly. He's seen him firsthand. That's a guy that Dombrowski saw firsthand on a daily basis. He knows what he can do. He's seen it all throughout his career. So I tell you what, I'm not surprised at all by the interest of the Phillies right here in this situation. And they're not going to go away. Philly has been known to spend some money. And this offseason, like you said, they came 2 games away from winning the World Series. That shortstop position was a position that didn't get a lot of action, you know, a lot of production in that position. So they're looking for some production, and they know they're going to have to go out and spend it with the free agent market the way it is now. And I can see that being a key match, a key spot for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, as of right now, you have Bryson Stott listed there. And it definitely seems like they are priming themselves to be a contender for any shortstop. We've heard Trey Turner. You know, we've heard the whole thing about Trey Turner, you know, he's an East Coast guy. He wants to go back to the East Coast. I'm never going to fully buy that. I'm sure maybe a player would like to go back to the East Coast. But, you know, we saw with Max Scherzer, I was just talking about this last night on my show. And, you know, we saw Max Scherzer, there were reports that, oh, he loved it out on the West Coast. He wanted to stay out there for the rest of his career, you know, play for the Dodgers, maybe play for the Padres or something like that. And then he ends up going to the Mets. And it was like, no one saw that one coming. Yeah, that was just completely out of left field. So I'm not sure how much I fully buy that, but with Trey Turner, if you don't go after a Trey Turner, I think Bogarts really is the next best option. If we're looking here, I'm going to share my screen here.
Yep.
They, the Phillies, like you said, did not have a lot of production out of the shortstop position, at least offensively. Bryson Stott was good defensively, but offensively, 23rd overall, according to Fangraphs. So definitely need a bit of a boost there. I will say this, during the postseason, it seemed like every time Bryson Stott came up, he just seemed pretty non-existent. And I'm not going to put so much on the guy, you know, rookie.
Yeah, being young, you're right.
Yeah, you know, so I guess what are your feelings on that? You know, just coming from just a straight baseball point of view, being on the field, you know, do you find that, I guess it's never fair, right? Life is never fair. Yeah. But what do you think that's something where the Phillies, maybe they should give Bryson Stott more of a chance, you know, or do you think you got a chance here to go after a big guy?
Yeah.
And you just move him to second. I don't know. What are your thoughts on, you know, Bryson Stott here?
Well, you know what? Bryson Stott did a great job coming in, filling in for Didi Gregorius that didn't have a great season. Okay. He came in and he solidified that spot. Okay. First of all, but when you're National League champs, you know, you came short just a little bit, a couple of games, all of a sudden you feel like you have to make a splash. I mean, they have the money in Philly. They're going to sell out the stadium each and every night. It's going to be a win-win for them. So they're definitely going to put some pressure on the Red Sox. And I would just say Philly. There's going to be other teams. I mean, it's all about the fit when you're talking about, you know, guys of, you know, of that nature. You know, Trey Turner, you said he wants to go back to the East Coast. He's an East Coast guy. But you know what? With that kind of money, you can buy a private jet, fly there in 3 hours anyway. So, no, it's not about that. It's just about the comfort level. Where do you feel like you would be the best? And right now, I think Xander Bogaerts, he feels like he'll be the best in Boston, okay? But he knows there are going to be other teams that are going to come in. It's not going to be a problem with the money situation. That's not the issue. Let's take the money out of the whole scenario here. It's just a matter of, do I feel comfortable leaving Boston? Do I want to leave Boston? I mean, they've already offered him a qualifying offer for the next year or so. So, hey, it's up to him now.
Yeah, I do think Bogarts has never really, you know, struck me as a guy that's looking for the big contract. Like Carlos Correa strikes me as that guy. He wants to, you know, go out there and get paid, which is completely fine. Nothing wrong with
sure,
that.
Sure.
But Bogarts has never really struck me as that. I think he wants to have a contract that he thinks is fair. That's
it didn't matter for him to be the highest paid shortstop. You're absolutely right about that.
Right.
It's just a matter of him being, you know, in that category, in that talk, because he is one of the top shortstops in the game. So why not get paid as one?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with him. Like we have talked about before, we hope he stays. But hey, I'm not going to be surprised. You got the Phillies out here showing interest. The Cubs, I wonder what they're going to end up doing here. I think they could emerge as a contender for one of these shortstops. Wouldn't doubt, you know, Bogarts possibly as an option for them. I think for the Phillies, what's going to end up happening, I think they're definitely going to be looking at this market. They're going to look to make a splash. But I think at the end of the day, you got a pretty nice backup plan in Bryson Stott at the end of the day. It's you know, not very often you have a young, good shortstop that's also coming off of a rookie season. So at the end of the day, I think the Phillies, they don't necessarily need to go after a shortstop. I think it's a very nice luxury to add something like this, but it'll be, I wonder how far they'll go, you know, because you did add Kyle Schwarber, Castellanos last offseason, Bryce Harper, long-term contract. You got some other guys that are coming up for contracts. So I wonder how far they will go. It'll be interesting. It's well, not like they're in dire need.
I tell you what. Now, the Red Sox, on the other hand, you know, it depends on how much pressure you want. Do you want a guy like Xander Bogaerts leaving? All of a sudden, you have that void. Now you're going to have to go out and try to get one of those other shortstops anyway. Yeah. So there you go. You got the guy right now that you know can perform at this level in the city of Boston. Now you bring someone else in, then you have to wonder about, okay, is he going to be okay here in Boston? There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, I do think with the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom, knowing Chaim Bloom, knowing how the guy, he dots his I's, he crosses his T's, I'm pretty sure he's got some ideas written down on a piece of paper somewhere. If you were to lose Bogaerts, what option, where do you go? My guess is that you don't go after another guy that's a shortstop. It just doesn't seem like something that they would do if you end up losing Bogaerts. They'll find a way to fill that void in another way. I think Story would slide over to short if his arm is, you know, there were reports where there was something wrong with his elbow last offseason, but because only time will tell. But you could slide Story over to short. And I think you could get creative. You know, there is a Gene Segura, obviously, you know, with the Phillies. That's the Phillies declining his option. So that's why they're definitely primed to go after a shortstop, because you can just move Stott to second. But you could go after someone like a Segura. Hey, the Rays, you know, they got a roster crunch coming up. They got all this talent there. Could you look into someone like a Brandon Lau? I don't know if they would trade within division, but some kind of an option like that, where maybe you could go see what kind of second baseman are out there to try and fill in there. And you could just slide Story over. But like you said, it's not going to be easy to recover that. So, but my guess is Bloom, he's got ideas. I think at the end of the day, when you look at everything laid out on the table, bringing Bogaerts back is the most simple solution out of everything. It's just going to come down to, what do they want to do? You know, how far are they willing to go? Will they give enough for him to stay? So I could see Bogaerts taking less money to stay. Yeah. You know, I don't think a significant amount, but I do think he would take less to stay here. I think as long as it's just fair. So
I got you.
We'll have to wait and see what ends up happening. But we do have another guy that the Red Sox reportedly have offered a deal to, and that is Nathan Eovaldi. So Nathan Eovaldi was extended a qualifying offer, but it looks like the Red Sox have also offered him a multi-year deal. So the qualifying offer, it's 1 year, $19.65 million. I'm not sure what the details are on the multi-year contract, but it is coming from Rod Bradford of WEEI. My guess would be, I'm just guessing here, I'm just speculating, I'm thinking maybe it was like a 2-year deal, or maybe like maybe the 1 year with some kind of an option at that point, maybe like a club option or a 2-year deal with a club option, something like that. My guess is that they offered the 1 year, 19.65, and they offered a multi-year deal, maybe around like, I don't know, anywhere 15 to 17 per season. So less AAV, but for more years. Either way, there supposedly is an offer out there. If you were to, you know, kind of sink your teeth into this, you know, what are you thinking here about Nathan Eovaldi and this contract?
Well, more importantly, there's some serious interest for him to stay.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most important thing. And I think the Red Sox know firsthand about Nathan Eovaldi's health. They know that, you know, he has the innings left in his arm. I think that's a smart move. When you say a multi-year deal, I mean, I could see a 2-year deal, really.
Yeah.
But anything longer than that, you're right. You're going to have an option, or team option, player option, whatever the case may be. But I can see a 2-year deal, getting him there, getting him signed through those couple of years. Because the guy's, he's a beast on the hill, man. He gives it all he has each and every night. You got to love that. He's very competitive. Great move right there.
Yeah, so I got to ask you your opinion on this, because I was kind of bouncing back and forth speculating about this on my show last night, where as a player, if you're coming off of a season where maybe you don't have, you haven't had the the best success injury or health wise this past year, like Nathan Eovaldi, only 20 starts this past year, yeah. Up and down season completely. Not the year he wanted going into free agency. If you're a player, and every player is different, everyone's going to have a different way of thinking about it, but I got to ask you your thoughts. If you have an option of taking a 1-year deal for more money or a 2-year deal with, say, you know, some options or whatever it may be for less money per year, but more money overall, what personally, what route do you go there as a player? Do you look more for, and again, it comes down to mentality. Do you bet on yourself, take that larger AAV, or do you feel like you'd rather take more of like that bit of a safety net there? I gotta hear your opinion on this one.
You know, it's the player's comfort level, what it boils down to. Now, if I were in that situation, had a slight medical history, you know, as far as not being able to play the full season, I mean, I would go for the multi-year deal. I would get those 2 years under my belt. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, if he wants to bet on himself, I mean, hey, every player, you know your situation, you know how you feel. He's obviously comfortable in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave him an opportunity to come back, rebuild himself, get back healthy. He done that. You know, this past year, I'm sure he, you know, ideally he wanted to be out there on a daily basis. Every start, get 30 starts. Of course, every pitcher wants that. Every player wants to go out there and, you know, play 155 games. But sometimes that's not the case. But, you know, he's one of those guys, I can see him back in Boston. You know, there's a search with him, there's a sense of loyalty, and I think he has that. So, yeah, I think he's one of those guys that you can offer him a 1-year deal. He'll take that with an option, or you can even go with the 2-year deal to sweeten it up a little bit. He'll take that.
Yeah, I'll be excited. You know, I've been speculating about Nathan Eovaldi. I'd be excited for him to come back. But, you know, there were those comments that he had made at the end of the season. He was not very happy about Kevin Plawecki getting released at the end of the year. You know, it was only 3 weeks left of season. The Red Sox, they wanted to call someone up from the minors and Frank Herman, you know, get him a little work out of that bullpen. So in the end, Kevin Plawecki, yeah. You cut ties, you know, but Kevin Plawecki was one of those guys in the clubhouse. They loved him. You know, he was a big clubhouse guy, big chemistry guy. So Nathan Eovaldi, he had made comments, you know, saying like, you know, why he couldn't just finish out the season, you know, and yeah. He had talked about Hunter Renfroe being traded. He had talked about Kyle Schwarber, him not coming back. So he had been bothered about that. I do wonder, at the end of the day, I do wonder how much weight it holds. But I wonder if that could come into any decision-making where would he want to maybe just go elsewhere? Would he want to maybe see what else is out there? Do you think that could have any sort of weight? Or do you think Nathan Eovaldi, at the end of the day, you're just going to look at it from a business point of view?
Well, you know, as a player like Nathan Eovaldi, of course you want your other opposing teammates to know you got their back. Okay. Yeah. You want them to know, hey, this guy, he was his starting catcher. He was the guy that caught for him. You know, he was one of those guys that, he was the one he depended on. So yeah, there was some disappointment there, but overall, you know, it's a business. I mean, every day it could be a change. Every year there's going to be a change. So yeah, he was disappointed, and of course, you know, with the way they ended the season in Boston, you know, you were in last place in that division. Yeah. You know, there was some serious disappointment from everyone. So, yeah, when Kyle Schwarber left, you know, all those guys that weren't there before that looked like they were going to be a key part of that team for a couple of years, and it just didn't happen that way. Sure, there's some disappointment. But, I think he's saying that because just to let, you know, let him know, hey, I have your back, basically.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think in the end of the day, I think it makes sense for them to come back together. The Red Sox need pitching, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But I think it makes sense, you know, for Eovaldi, you know, especially if you're coming off the year that he had and you're still being offered a multi-year deal, you know, from the team you've been with. I think that's a win, honestly. So I think it shows from the Reds. And I actually like that from the Red Sox. It comes down to how much is it per year? Yeah, I'm sure it's at least 15, 16 per year, maybe 17 even. If they're doing the 1 year 19, I would imagine you're probably looking at, if it's a 2-year deal, maybe 16 or 17 per. But I think it's a good move from the Red Sox point of view. You know, it shows that they have loyalty still with him. Sure. And they want him to stay around. So I like that they did that. And to me, I think it just makes sense, you know? So
win-win.
But we'll have to see what ends up happening. But let's kind of get into some rumors here. So we'll talk about the pitching here in just a little bit. But there is a little something-something right now. The Red Sox, it looks like they're trying to make some upgrades in the outfield. The outfield last year, it was a bit of a mess. You know, Hunter Renfroe not sticking around. There was definitely a loss in the power department there, you know, run production. You could see the outfield was just not very productive last year. Verdugo had his moments. Kike Hernandez was out. Ref Snyder was fun at times, but the outfield as a whole, you know, Jeremy Duran underperformed. They need some upgrades.
You need in some this outfield.
And now there is one guy that could be emerging. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think this guy is going to move. I'll dive into it in just a second, but Brian Reynolds could be an option for the Red Sox. So taking a look here, the Red Sox are the latest club to show interest in Pirates outfielder Brian Reynolds, according to Alex Spire of the Boston Globe. Reynolds is one of a few names on the trade radar for the Sox early in the offseason. As Spire reports that the Red Sox have also looked into the Diamondbacks group of left-handed hitters. And there's also Sean Murphy. His name is coming out there. No surprise to see the Red Sox connected with him. We have talked about Sean Murphy in the past, where it's probably going to take quite a bit to get him, so I wonder how realistic he is. Brian Reynolds, on the other hand, that is going to be interesting. And I want to just give my thoughts on this real quick. I personally, and I want to hear your thoughts.
Sure.
The Pirates obviously are not in a state at all to win any championships at the moment, but I think the Pirates, they got some good young players there. We just saw the Guardians, young team from last year. The Pirates are stockpiling a lot of talented guys. I think the Pirates could be better sooner rather than later. So I wonder how motivated they are to trade Brian Reynolds. I think it's just natural for him to pop up in these trade rumors just because the Pirates are obviously not contending for a championship anytime soon. So it's easy to see his name in the rumor mill all the time.
Sure.
I got to, you know, to me, I think the Pirates, that's their guy. Like, that's Brian Reynolds. That's like your centerpiece of your organization. You got to keep Ryan Hayes, too. But I personally don't think the Pirates are very motivated to give him away or trade him away. What do you think here? Obviously, Brian Reynolds would make the Red Sox better. But coming from a point of view, like from the Pirates organization, how do you feel? Do you feel like you got to hang on to Brian Reynolds? He is still, you know, 3 years away from free agency.
Yeah.
Is that a guy you would hang on to if you're running the Pirates?
Now, if you're running the Pirates, yes, that would be a guy you want to hang on to. But again, you have to look at maybe we don't know the situation in Pittsburgh. Yeah. If they offered him a multi-year deal, because Pittsburgh is one of those organizations that seem to want to get those young guys locked in for a long time. And they haven't done that with Brian Reynolds. You know, I've seen this kid when he was a kid, talking about in San Francisco before he got traded over there. And I tell you what, he has everything that it takes. I just love the way he plays. Switch hitter, power both sides, great defensively. He's one of those guys that, you're right, he's going to be something, a centerpiece in Pittsburgh, or he's going to be a great piece to trade off and get a lot back for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we're looking at Brian Reynolds, had himself a really good season. Let me share the screen so we can see his numbers from last year. So he got off to a bit of a slow start last year, but he really started to pick up the pace eventually, or he ended with a .262 average, a .345 on base, .461 slugging, 27 homers, a .125 WRC plus. Defensively, he was actually very poor defensively last year, but in the last couple of years prior to that, he was better. So it seemed like there was a little something off with Brian Reynolds last year. He got off to a really slow start, but in the end, it ended up having a decent season, or a pretty good season overall.
Yeah, a good season.
Yeah, I think Brian Reynolds, I would love to have this guy in Boston. Absolutely. He's not a free agent until 2026, tons of control. He's exactly what Heim Bloom would love to have, but unfortunately, it's going to take a lot to get him. So
comes with a high price.
If we go to baseballtradevalues.com, the best baseball trade simulator out there, Brian Reynolds is not going to be cheap. He's right around $60 million worth of value. And if we're looking at some players that the Red Sox would have to send back in a deal, just for perspective, Marcelo Meyer, he's worth $55 million as of right now. Tristan Casas is worth $40 million. Whitlock, 35, right around. Bayo, right around 33. So you could see what it would take to get someone like a Brian Reynolds. I don't know. I think this is more of a kicking the tires kind of a thing. Yeah. And again, with Brian Reynolds.
See what's out there.
Yeah, it's always, you know, he's always
what's,
on the rumor
mill. What's Jaren Durant's trade value?
So Jaren Durant, he has plummeted a bit. He was at one point over $30 million. Now he's only at six. Oh, so, wow.
Yeah,
baseball trade values, what they do here is they, if we're looking at how they value major league players, you know, it's all these, you know, advanced analytics and whatnot, but they basically come up with their value through a few things. They look at wins above replacement. They tend to favor Fangraphs. They're looking at projections. They also use inflation. They look at how many years of control are on the deal until they're a free agent. How much injuries or how much injury risk do they carry? Roster risk as well, and obviously how much they're making too. And you could see with someone like Brian Reynolds, who is not a free agent here for what, 3-4 more years. He's only making $6.8 million. I mean, this is a president of baseball operations dream to have on your team. Good production, cheap, and he's not a free agent for a little while. It's the ultimate bargain. So Brian Reynolds, someone like him, it's going to cost quite a bit to get him.
Yeah.
So
now, one thing I would say about that, and I totally agree with everything you just said. Now, but you talk about a kid like Jaren Durant. You know, he has all the talent, okay? But it's just a matter of his comfort level at the big leagues. You know, he did it at AAA. He still, every time he gets demoted to AAA, he just has phenomenal numbers up there. Now, he gets up to Boston. He's one of those kind of players. He's got to play every day. He can't come off the bench today, Monday. He'll start, not start again until Wednesday or Thursday. It's not that. It's not going to work for him. He has to be out there on a daily basis. He has to get into a rhythm. He's one of those rhythm type players, and I can sense that already. You know, I was like that when I was really young at his age. So, yeah, that's going to take some time. So the value, his value has dropped down due to that fact that, you know, once he got an opportunity to play, he didn't perform.
Yes.
But I would not fold the tents on this kid at all. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No, absolutely. If I'm looking back at his value here, and again, it's just value at the end of the day. It's what it is right now. We've seen many guys, you know, through these number crunches where they could all of a sudden just really pick it up that next year, and their value skyrockets. Obviously, it's what you put out onto the field. So with him, considering his age, considering he doesn't really ever get injured, and obviously he's not a free agent for a long time. If he just puts the performance there, his value could jump up anyway, you know, 30, 50 million bucks, you know. So,
But Durant, do I, it's just him, a matter do of, I see him in Boston? No, I don't see his future in Boston, but I do see him as a big league player.
Yeah, I mean, I would love, you know, I love Jaren Durant. He's really exciting. He gives me those Jacoby Ellsbury feels, a little bit of Grady Sizemore as well. So I like Jaren Durant, but I could see them going either way because he still has value. So that was his median value. It goes all the way up to around seven as of right now. So I could see him maybe being included. It just depends on how the Red Sox see him, you know, in the future. But he could be included in some kind of a deal. He would not obviously be the one piece to get it done for someone like Brian Reynolds. You need to throw in a lot more than that. But I think it's possible you could see him in some kind of a deal. But I agree with you. I definitely think he has a future. And I agree where you just need that consistent playing time. You need that. And sure, you could have consistent playing time at AAA, but I think, you know, you if anyone knows, AAA is not the major leagues.
Not at all.
He kills it every time he goes there. But there are some other, you know, we just mentioned here as I was reading this that they are looking at the Diamondbacks group of left-handed hitting outfielders. They do have a surplus. You got Corbin Carroll, who I think is going to be an absolute star. Dalton Varsho, that guy is awesome. He's like a linebacker out there, just running around center field. He can catch too. Alec Thomas, young player, should be really good. And then there's also Jake McCarthy. I think Jake McCarthy is a name to really look out for. Let me share the screen so we can look at his numbers here. Because if I'm looking here at the Diamondbacks, I mean, if I'm looking at Corbin Carroll, Dalton Varsho, and Alec Thomas, I mean, this is a future outfield that is just got star potential all over it. But Jake McCarthy, though, really good. If we take a look here, he's not a free agent until 2029. Tons of value in that, just in that alone. But last year, he hit 283, 43 RBIs, has some speed, 23 stolen bases, pretty solid on base of 342. Slugging, sure, you'd like that to be a little higher. But overall, this is a guy you could put at the top of your order, left-handed bat. I mean, yeah. I think Jake McCarthy could be – I think he's going to be an option out there for a lot of teams that could be using – looking for a bat. Right off the bat, I think a team like the Marlins would like to have someone like him. You got Pablo Lopez over there, Diamondbacks, if they want some pitching. Mm-hmm. I think Jake McCarthy is going to be a pretty hot commodity out there on the trade market, just considering here that you have these three guys, you know. So McCarthy, he has really built up his value. And actually, if I go pull up the Diamondbacks, he's also, because he doesn't have much of a track record as of right now, but with Jake McCarthy, he is someone that's going to be a lot more affordable, $20 million so in value. So right. It would not be hard to put together some kind of a package with someone like him. What I'm talking here, left-handed hitting outfielders, and the Red Sox, they are trying to make some kind of an upgrade. So I kind of want to segue this into a guy that is also a left-handed bat with the Red Sox that is current, you know, he's right there in the outfield, and that's Alex Verdugo. And I got to hear your thoughts on this, because there's a lot to unpack in this article. There's actually some speculation that maybe the Red Sox could use Verdugo in some kind of a trade in some way, shape, or form. But there were some reports. Alex Cora did talk about Verdugo at the end of the season. And there were some kind of weird things said about him. If I were to go back to this article here, it's on Mass Live. They're saying here, we're going to push him hard this offseason to get back to playing faster, to playing quicker. I think athletic-wise, he can do that. This offseason, obviously, with him playing for Mexico, his offseason stuff is going to be different. He's going to be in better shape heading into spring training. I think this is a guy who we envision to be an impact player, not only in the batter's box, but also on the other side of the ball. So what he's talking about here was that he bulked up last offseason. We saw the same thing happen with Andrew Benintendi. He really tried to hit for more power, and that ended up really backfiring on Benintendi. And because Benintendi was more of a, you know, doubles hitter, more of a contact hitter. And when he tried to get into more power, we saw what happened with him. And then in the end, he went to Kansas City. But Verdugo had something similar. And there were, in this article here, it mentioned that there were some people with the Red Sox that were a little frustrated with him. It says here, those numbers mixed with questions about Verdugo's preparation and unique routine frustrated Red Sox decision makers throughout the season, a source said late in the season. While taking batting practice on the field is always optional, the team would have liked Verdugo, who prefers to hit in the cage, to take traditional BP more often. In addition, some of the Red Sox were unhappy that Verdugo, whose calling card is his ability to put the ball in play and get on base, tried to bulk up in an effort to hit more for power. So again, I got to kind of hear your thoughts. It's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Do you think that could be enough for the Red Sox to maybe just think, maybe he's not really, you know, a great fit? Or what do you think? I don't know. I just got to hear your thoughts on all that.
Okay. Let me start from, you know, from when I saw Alex Verdugo. You know, he's one of those players. He puts the ball in play. Okay. His swing did get a little longer. Mm-hmm. You know, he was missing a lot of good fastballs, you know, a little tardy on them. But I tell you what, he has the ability. And you don't, when you're a little tardy, first of all, you don't want to bulk up even more. You want to be quicker. I mean, I'll give you a prime example. Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is not the biggest guy out there, but his bat is so quick. Yeah. He just gets the head of that bat to the ball and you know, makes it happen. So that being said, I mean, you don't have to be the biggest or strongest guy to have power. You just have to, you know, it's all about bat control. Alex Verdugo has bat control. He can hit the ball to left field, center field, right field, spray the ball all over the park. It's just a matter of him getting a little more aggressive at the plate. And, you know, as far as, you know, him not taking batting practice on the field, I saw that a lot last year. I mean, I'm sure there's some frustrations with the organization because he did some things last year on the field that was questionable. Defensively, you know, offensively, running the bases. I mean, there's so many things you could clean up with Alex Verdugo. So, you know, I think he's one of those players. He can play. He definitely can play in Boston. He can play anywhere. So he needs to just come out with a different mentality, switch it up a little bit as far as, you know, being on the field, being a part of the team more. Go out there and take batting practice on the field. Let, you know, I think his thing was he rather see the ball, the line drives in the batting cages. I always wanted to see the flight of the ball. You know, when I hit on the outside, you see the flight of the ball, you can tell, okay, I'm feeling good that day. It's coming off the bat very quick, very hard. That sound, you could tell. All right. Some players go with that. You know, he's on him on the other hand, he's a little different. But I can't take that away from him. But the guy can play the game. I mean, I've seen him battle lefties. He can hit left-handed pitchers. He can hit righties. He's just one of these guys. You have to light the fire underneath him because there were times where he thought he hit home runs. And look, when you hit a ball, you know you got it. Then you can just stand back there and watch it. But one of those balls in between off the wall or in the gap, dude, there's players behind you that can drive you in. And the Red Sox didn't have those power numbers last year to be waiting back for a home run. You had to get in scoring position in order to get some runs in. And I think that hurt him more so than none throughout the season. But he's a quality player. I like him a lot. He's proven he can hit at the big league level. It's just a matter of cleaning up a few things.
Yeah, and to me, you know, he's not even 27 years old yet. I mean, so still, you know, a young player. Like you said, you know, definitely some things he can clean up. Did hit 280 last year. If we're looking at his numbers, 280. The on base, you would like for – it's not bad at all, but you would like for someone like him who has done a great job of getting on base in the past, you would like for that to be better. The slugging, I'm not too worried. Like, again, I think he reminded me a lot of Andrew Benintendi. You know, maybe a little more power than Benintendi, if that makes any more sense. He just has that. He has that ability to hit for home runs. I don't think that's his main shtick, though.
Right.
But like you said, there are some little things with Verdugo. Hey, with him, with Verdugo, that's been a guy, especially, you know, public relations. They like to put the spotlight on him because he has that character. He has that charisma. So, sure. You know, they like him, you know, when it comes to, you know, just the fans and whatnot, he's engaging. So, you know, that they would like for him to stay around for that. I don't think they end up moving him. I think they end up keeping him around, but I definitely could see them going after someone like a Jake McCarthy. Cause the one thing with the Red Sox right now is they could use something in right field. Obviously Rob Refsnyder right now is your option listed here.
Yeah.
But to me, we've talked about this before. Refsnyder, definitely a solid bench piece. But I think someone like a Jake McCarthy can make a lot of sense. He's not going to break the bank. That's the kind of a guy I could see the Red Sox trading for. Someone that's not going to completely unload your farm. Maybe give up a quality prospect or two, but none of your top guys. And you could get someone like McCarthy in that scenario. So I think he'd be a really good addition. We'll have to just wait and see how the Red Sox go with this. Yeah. There are some other players out there. I can't wait to talk about this one. I'm telling you, Kadai Senga. I don't know if you've seen any film on him or any tape on him. He's the latest pitcher out of Japan. And this guy throws absolute gas. He's got a fork ball that was the hardest ball to hit contact wise in Japan this past year. Great numbers. And he's going to be a free agent. He's an international free agent now, so you don't have to do any of the posting fees. I got to ask you. So the Red Sox, they are showing some interest in him. They have scouted him in the past. What are your thoughts on players? Obviously, there's been a lot of successful players come over from Japan. What would you think about the Red Sox going after someone like Senga?
I mean, you know, the track record for the last few years have been pretty good with players coming over, especially the pitching. I've never seen this guy. You know, I've heard, but I've never seen him. But I tell you what, there's going to be a list of teams that are going to be lining up for this guy. It's going to become a bidding type war. So, I mean, you just have to wait and see. But yeah, a pitcher like that, yeah, you can definitely use him.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at his numbers in Japan. Solid numbers overall. A record of over 11 seasons, a record of 104-51, 2.42 ERA, 10 strikeouts per nine. But the big thing with him, it's the stuff. He has touched right just a tick under 102 with his fastball. Mm. The forkball, it is just, you got to go watch it. Go on YouTube after this and just go watch the forkball with him. It is just so nasty. They call it the ghost fork over in Japan because it just disappears. It looks like a fastball coming in and it just dives at the last
second. Senga. Okay, I'm going to check it out.
It's a nasty forkball. I'm sure you'll look at it and just be like, "Ooh, my goodness."
Yeah.
But he's got great stuff. And he's not the same pitcher, but I'll tell you, when the Red Sox went after Daisuke Matsuzaka in 2007, that was, in my opinion, that was the peak, like the peak offseason. That was right. The best. I know you were, that was a few years after you had retired at that point. Do you remember anything about those sweepstakes at all when the Red Sox went after Dice K?
I tell you what, that was something to watch. I mean, I was always interested in seeing the process of guys coming over from Japan, how each team was going to pursue that particular player. And fortunately enough, the Red Sox got Dice K, and I saw him pitch. I mean, you're talking control, power, you know, finesse at the same time. You don't see that very often. A guy that has power numbers and he can put it pretty much where he wants to put it, each one of his pitches. I think the kid had like seven damn pitches. You know, it was crazy.
It was really he was
tough.
He was one of the even just getting back to that offseason, before I even get into like him on the field, I still remember, because you didn't have Twitter at the time. You didn't have social media. You had nothing. You relied on the Boston Globe. You relied on the Boston Herald. You relied on these beat reporters to get any updates they could. They had their sources that they could call. Those were the ones that you had to focus on when it came to the rumors. And, you know, just like today, but you didn't have the widespread, you know, rumors going out there.
Right.
I still remember when they flew out to California. It was like a soap opera. They flew out there to talk with him and Scott Boras. They got him on a plane. They're coming back to Boston. People were tracking the flight of Dice K coming to Boston. Like, people were going crazy over it. I was glued to my computer screen. I still remember that day. I got home from off-season baseball practice at that point, and I'm just glued to my screen, just looking. I'm refreshing, looking to see, all right, where's Dice K? What's going on here? And I still remember his first start in Kansas City. Like, it was so cool because you never really saw, at least in Boston, you didn't really see a picture like that. You had Hideo Nomo, but Hideo Nomo, he went to the Dodgers originally. Dice K was just so exciting when he came over. And like you said, there was intrigue because you didn't know. And it was also just someone like him was so good in Japan. I still remember that first start at Fenway with Ichiro there. That was all the cameras and just the Japanese paparazzi running around everywhere. It was fantastic. I loved every second of it. He was solid in the postseason that year in 07. Sure. In the end, Dice K, he grew more and more. He ended up becoming a bit frustrating a little bit because the guy, he was the definition of nibble the corners. My goodness. Like, I've never seen a guy nibble so much on the corners.
Yeah.
And he would be at like 100 pitches already through like four innings, and he would barely be walking guys. So it was It was always fun to watch Daisuke, but I would love someone like Kadai Senga. I mean, that guy's stuff, he's
fantastic. At him right now.
He's had some injuries over the last few years. There was a little something with his elbow at one point. I hurt his ankle at one point, but scouts are thinking he's going to be fine moving forward. At the very least, he'll be a very, very good arm out of the bullpen. So it'll be interesting. He was in the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago, back in 2017. They got the World Baseball Classic coming back. I'm excited for that.
Right.
But yeah, he was in the last one. He struck out, I think, 16 batters over, I think, like 11 innings or something like that against guys from the United States, Australia. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. The Red Sox, they are keeping tabs on other pitchers out there. We got some other names. We got guys like Andrew Heaney, who's going to be a free agent. Tyler Anderson, who's a free agent as well.
Yep.
So the Red Sox are definitely out in the pitching market right now. But Kadai Senga is someone that they have scouted very heavily. So we'll have to see if that turns into anything. We have talked about this one before. I do want to share my screen. So it looks like they are going fully forward with Garrett Whitlock as a starter in 2023. So you had the general manager meetings not too long ago. They also mentioned that Tanner Houck, they could look at him possibly being a starter again as well, but there has not been a decision made. But it looks like they are very, very dedicated to using Garrett Whitlock as a starter in 23. They go on to say here, with Witt, we told him to plan to be a starter, and we expect him to be a starter. With Tanner, we said something similar. We talked through that. He will go through the offseason planning to be a starter, and we'll build him up as such. But there's a little bit less definition around his role, and he knows it could go in either direction. Whitlock to the rotation was a little bit more clear and definitive than the situation with Houck, whose role figures to be determined in part by the course of the Boston offseason. So if we're looking at the current Red Sox rotation, they are listing him as the number five. Overall on paper, it's, you know, it looks good, but I think it really comes down to, are these guys going to be able to get their innings? Are they going to be able to make their turn? You know, I'll tell you this, Ellis. I think the Red Sox rotation is at its best when these guys are just making their starts. If they're just making their starts every fifth day, you know, every one of these guys are getting at least 25 starts. I think that's the most successful plan for a rotation. What do you think about the rotation as it is right now? Do you think you got to go after some other guys on the market? Just what are your general opinions just looking at this rotation as of right now?
Well, looking at that rotation, I mean, anytime you bring some guys out of the bullpen, you're going to have to build up their arm strength, okay, for the long haul. You know, those, they can definitely do it. Garrett Whitlock, I mean, and Tanner Houck, they can definitely do that. It's just a matter, okay, now you're looking at the domino effect. Who's going to be in the bullpen now? You're going to have to go out and make a splash in the bullpen, because, first of all, the bullpen wasn't at the best last year anyway. You know, considering you had those two guys in the pen, now all of a sudden you bring that out. You definitely have to go out on the free agent market or bring some guys up that can fill those voids. But I think Garrett Whitlock, I think he could easily become a starter. We saw pieces of it. We saw a little glimpse of that throughout the season. He can be phenomenal. He could be a closer. He could be a short guy. He could be a starting pitcher. He has a lot of different options and a lot of things you could do with him. But I think if you can put those two guys in the rotation, you know, you got a healthy Chris Sale coming. And, you know, we're forgetting about Big Maple. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with him. He's coming back this year. He's going to be 100%. That's another guy you have to think about also.
Yeah. I hope he's healthy, man. I mean, he was really good in 2019. He was very good. 2018 was very good. I would love for him to just really step up in the rotation. That'd be huge. But I definitely think the Red Sox, I think they need to just keep adding depth in any way they can. So I'm not surprised to see them have ties to some of these lower end starting pitchers. I don't expect them to go after someone like Carlos Rodon or Jacob DeGrom. I think that they don't agree philosophically when it comes to the money with those kind of guys. But I could see them, like a Tyler Anderson's out there. He did well with the Dodgers. Heaney showed some good stuff last year. I could see Bloom being intrigued with what he could bring to the table.
Sure.
So there's some options. I definitely think they need to add a guy. I would love someone. Like, to me, that's why I kind of almost like the idea of Senga, you know, just because
he's
such a wild card.
Yeah.
And I just would love to see how Cora and the gang would utilize him, because that is a guy, at the very least, you could just put in the bullpen. I would imagine they would want him as a starter. But just the more depth they can get, the more options they can get, that's, I think, key. They just lacked so many innings last year out of this rotation. And guys just being able to make their starts consistently. We saw in 2021, the rotation didn't look amazing, but they all made their starts. Like, that's what they were, just, you never had to worry about if a guy was, you know, going to be in the rotation, you know, next time around. You know, sure, there were some guys there where, yeah, it wasn't the best, but they were getting at least five innings out of all of those guys.
Well, you had that consistency working, and you had that health throughout the season in 2021. You know, you didn't have those issues.
And they need to get back to that. So that's what I think Bloom is going to be looking to do. There is one more little thing that I wanted to touch on. I just mentioned 40, or I talked about the Rays earlier with 40 man rosters. You got some Rule 5 draft coming up, non-tender deadline coming up. And the Red Sox have added Emmanuel Valdez to their 40 man roster. This was one of the players that they got back in the Christian Vasquez trade. We've talked about him before. A very, very talented prospect. He really emerged last year in the Astros organization. Taking a look at his numbers overall last year in 22, between three levels, two levels, AA and AAA, between the Astros and the Red Sox organizations, hit .296, a .376 on base, a .542 slugging, 28 homers, and 107 RBIs. Also had 8 stolen bases. He can play a bunch of different positions. What are your thoughts here on adding a guy like this to your 40-man roster?
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of him once he came over, you know, to Worcester. And I tell you what, he had some pop in that bat, quick bat, a short swing. You could tell he's not far away. I mean, that kid, yeah, there's some explosiveness in his bat that I really liked. And defensively, he wasn't bad at all either. So, yeah, I can see that move happening. I'm glad they did that. You know, I'm not saying you have to justify a trade like getting rid of Christian, but I tell you what, this kid can actually play. He's good. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Good move.
I mean, I love the versatility. He can play in the infield. He can play in the outfield. And he can kind of just do it all. He did cool down a little when he went to the Red Sox, but – you know, if you're, you know, a young player like him going to a different organization,
yeah, I getting see traded over is a big deal, man. Especially at the minor league level, that's a big deal. You're leaving one organization that you're comfortable with for a number of years, then you go into another spot. You know, you don't know exactly, okay, why did I get traded? A lot of those guys don't understand the baseball aspect of getting traded. Okay, I traded you. We traded for you because we think you're going to be a great addition to this club. It takes some explanations for those kids to understand that. But, yeah, I can see him slumping just a little bit. But he showed enough promise, I thought, that, yeah, this was a good reward for him.
Yeah, I'm excited. I saw some highlights of him. He's an explosive player. There's a lot to be excited. And I think it's clear the Red Sox, when they got him, they obviously this was a guy that they saw something in. Yes. I'm surprised, you know, the Astros, I'm sure they hated to give him up, you know, but they went after Christian Vasquez, which ended up being a good move because it helped them win a World Series.
Yes.
Hey, it is what it is, but that is all we got for tonight, everyone. That is all we got. Man, we talked about a lot there. This off season. It is just fully underway. The wheels are turning. So next episode, I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to talk about. But Ellis, before we get out of here, any last thoughts on anything before we get out of here for the night?
Well, I think, you know, the Red Sox are in the right position to start looking at different free agents right now and cleaning up house themselves, you know, talking to Xander Bogaerts. You know, I wouldn't be too concerned about the Rafi Devers deal. That's going to take care of itself. I think the fans are worried about that. No, he's going to be fine. He's going to be a centerpiece of this club for a number of years. It's just going to be a matter of how many years. But I think the Red Sox are in great position right now to look at a lot of different options, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
You know, and I kind of, we just mentioned Christian Vasquez, where, you know, Bloom, he had made some comments at the trade deadline in the season saying that there were moves that he wanted to make. There were phone calls that he wanted to make. There are some trades out there, the Juan Soto one being one in particular that it was kind of holding up the market a bit there. But Bloom, he said, hey, there were phone calls that never got made, you know, deals that never got talked about more. So I think he was excited to get to this offseason. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised at all to see, you know, the Red Sox, it was kind of a running joke last offseason a little bit. They were the kings of interest last offseason. But this offseason, I think there's a little more weight to it. I think there's a little more, I wouldn't say pressure, but there's more urgency. You know, more urgency. You know, why not? Pressure. Let's call it pressure. So I don't think any of this stuff, I don't think it's going to be interest. I think you're going to see some moves. I think you're definitely going to see some creative ones. I think Bloom is going to add a couple of fun pieces. I'm not necessarily saying big ticket pieces, but I think someone like Jake McCarthy, someone of that profile, where maybe you don't really know the name very much, but a player that could be really solid for your team, you know, can contribute and help this team. Sure. So just have to wait and see. But everyone, before we do get out of here, one more time, tonight's sponsor is Bet Online. Use the code BELIEVE, BLEAV, get a 50% welcome bonus. And don't forget about our sponsors here on the channel. We got SeatGeek, use my code HIDE, $20 off. And Prize Picks, use my code GINGER. And don't forget, we just recently got the Manscaped sponsorship. So use my code HIDE for that as well. But Ellis, I want to thank you. Another episode, my friend. We will be back eventually, probably sooner rather than later, because there's going to be some news to talk about. So,
all right.
But everyone, thank you for joining tonight. Have yourselves a great night. And we'll talk to you next time.
Take care.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.